Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Michelle Cologne held a sign in one hand, "Keep your laws off my body and fight for women's rights," while she used her other hand to create a barrier between anti-abortion street preacher Keith Dalton and abortion rights protesters in Jackson, Mississippi.
Michelle Cologne, the founder of Mississippi's Shiro, Sisters Helping Women Rise and Organize, says, "Ain't no stopping them fighting against the medical biases that black and brown women face when seeking reproductive health, no matter what the Supreme Court rules in the Mississippi abortion case challenging Roe versus Wade on December 1st. Firebrand Michelle Cologne tells the story of sisters helping every woman rise and organize. Talk about here we are in 2021, and the fight has been long and hard for self-determination of women over their personage to progress and develop and to self-determine the road that they take, and of course, in terms of their body. So we're going to get back to that. But I want to find out more about the evolution and development of Shiro, what it does in its work in Mississippi.
Shiro is an acronym that stands for Sisters Helping Every Woman Rise and Organize. We are a Black and Brown Women's Reproductive Justice Collective, and we're statewide. Our intentions in coming together was there's so many people who have jumped on the RJ wagon, right? But the majority of the ones, specifically the ones in Mississippi and throughout the South, don't want to talk about abortion. They just won't touch abortion, or they don't want to touch, they refuse to talk about queer rights. So we were adamant saying we are going to be true to the reproductive justice framework, and we subscribe to the Black feminist ideals. My individual activism and organizing in Mississippi has always been to keep the word abortion front and center. So many times when I was younger, I always heard that, oh, you know, abortion is such a difficult decision and it's so painful for women to make, whereas we know that is not the case for every pregnant person. But in my opinion, our side was we were basically catering to the abortion stigma by using that language. So instead of allowing people to kind of hide behind the term being pro-choice, I'm pro-abortion. I am. I'm also pro-choice. I've always been unapologetically abortion-minded, even before being unapologetic became, you know, the thing. So what Shiro does is that we help individuals find their path to liberation by training them and exposing them, reproductive justice trainings, trainings around the pronouns and the uses and why they're important. A lot of people find that the pronouns is a joke. And so, you know, we had trainings for that. We also various trainings on how to use Plan B. We provided trainings for the queer and trans community in regards to employment discrimination against queer folk and pregnant women. This is what we try to do. We try to arm our communities with the education and the necessary tools that they need to make better informed decisions, to have these tough conversations within their communities, and to encourage them to become their own activists.
Tell us more about your own background, because I think it helps inform and encourage people to become part of the process, because they can so readily identify with the experience of the individual who is telling us the story and about the creation of and work of this very important organization in Mississippi, Shiro.
What brought me to the work period is that, you know, I feel like I always tell people I was born an activist and an organizer. I'm the eldest of five children. My chief organizing being, you know, an older sister, big sister. I'm a woman. I was a teenage girl. I saw and heard the conversations my older cousins and other women in my family and community were having. My grandmother was a nurse. I was never told lies when it came to health care. We knew where babies came from. We knew what the difference between abortion and miscarriage was. And I heard the stories of the older generations talking about, you know, illegal abortions. And then when I was a teenager, my friends, my cousins, and other folks who, what they would call, found themselves in trouble, we supported one another in going to clinics, going with them to their appointments and things like that. It was like something we all had to do in secrecy. It was so much shame. Even now, the women, they're always looked upon as being loose, or, oh, her life is ruined, or she's this bad person. And so she's the one who has to carry that stigma of being a dirty person because, oh, she had sex and she let that happen and she's a dirty girl and things like that. So I would go accompany friends and family members to clinics. I remember back in the, in the late 80s, and, the anti-abortion terrorism was really ramping up, where I'm just like, wow, they're like blowing up clinics and terrorizing doctors, and just the actions that was happening. It just clicked to me like this was my generation's civil rights movement. I saw the parallels, the white racist Southerners, the Klan, bombing churches, killing black children and pulling black men and black children out of their beds. I just was just like, really, all of this is because of white, it's power. This is a difference of opinion. This is just wrong. And that's why I became active. Also, no one should have to define or describe or share anything about their medical health or their, or their personal decisions, unless it's with someone who they want to share that information with. This was so simple to me, that the government should not be intruding. And now they're not even intruding. They shouldn't be managing and criminalizing folks for wanting to have abortions, and nor criminalizing people for doing abortions. As we've known for eons, women have been controlling their fertility since the beginning of time. That's about feminine power, right? And so for me, this is all about the misogyny. This is all about hating women, hating the fact that women are independent and free thinkers, and that they do have that control and don't want to be controlled by men by forcing them in a position to only be defined as a mother, as a wife, if that's something that they choose not to be. Pregnancy, childbirth, parenting, motherhood is not always this glorious thing that the fairy tales in Hollywood would like us to believe. And it's not the journey for everybody, and that's okay. I just don't feel that anyone should be ashamed either way for being a parent or how they became a parent, nor should anyone be ashamed for deciding not to become a parent or in the ways that they've chosen to not to become a parent. For me, abortion is liberation, it's dignity, it's power, it's freedom, it's health care, it's essential health care, it's self-love. So that's what brought me to this. Being a Black woman, one day I may want to have a child. One day I may want to birth a child and carry a child, but that's my decision, right? And so we need to stop as a society, stop trying to use this one size fit all model as to what family, what pro-life is or what life is and what success is and things like that. And we need to stop oppressing folks, and especially marginalized communities. Leave women alone when it comes to their bodies. We are not all doctors. Politicians need to stay out of the exam room. They're not doctors. Stop trying to force women, especially women of color, Black and brown women and poor women, stop forcing them into a role to serve as a brood mare, especially when they don't support policies to help existing living children with health care, education, food, and things like that.
Here we are again in 2021. The fight around abortion, which played out in individual state legislatures, played out in the lives of individual women through people at one point being forced and still forced in many instances, particularly women of color and poor women, to have forced abortions and to be subject to sterilization abuse and hysterectomies within the immigration system of detention. Then there's the aspect that we came out of. I will reveal my age to say that I came out of the coat hanger era, where people were forced to self-abort who were poor and lost their lives. Right. Again, I'm going, wow, this is 2021, 50 years since Roe v. Wade, yeah. Both state legislatures, and there was this enormously creative piece of litigation. And I speak as a lawyer, quite fascinating, the idea of privacy being used as a way of codifying
right.
women's right to an abortion, to control over their body. I want want to understand how you understand the political trajectory and the period of time that is taking us back 50 years to the coat hanger era, or beyond that, to women as chattel, where we are forced to capitulate to the whims and desires of the male populace. How the hell do you understand why that is happening at this juncture?
The fight, it's never gone away. The day after Roe was decided, anti-abortionists never stopped organizing. They never stopped aiming to overturn Roe. If you fast forward 50 years to now, or I should say a few years ago in 2016 when Donald Trump became president, he sealed the deal as president. And you have the other demon, Mitch McConnell, presiding over the Senate. They had the power to push through numerous amount of federal judges who were not qualified to be judges to be appointed to a lifelong position. These are anti-abortion individuals. These are basically anti-human rights attackers. These folks are anti-freedom. They oppose voting expansion. They oppose immigrants, citizenship status, and they oppose abortion. So that was the plan. So now we have a federal judiciary that is plagued with individuals who are anti-abortion. That was their only freaking qualification. So you've got these people in the district court and in the federal level. Then you have the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court, where I know back in the day, everyone always felt, okay, if we can go to the Supreme Court, the law of the land, we'll get a fair shake. We haven't had, and when I say we, I'm talking about the pro-abortion side, right? I'm talking about the pro-voting rights side. We haven't had Supreme Court had a real strong base in years. Always hoping and wishing and praying or whatever that the Supreme Court would do the right thing has been a pipe dream for me, because to me, it was just like it could go either way. I've never been, honestly, not since when Thurgood Marshall stepped down back when I was in high school. I was like, oh, there we go. Now we're at the Supreme Court where we have a 6-3 anti-abortion majority. I am not hopeful that they are going to rule in the favor of denouncing this particular ban, because the three new justices that have been appointed within the last 4 years have been very vocal about their opposition to abortion, and not just abortion, about their supporting of overturning Roe. It's scary. That's how I understand it. The anti-side has waited this whole time, and with the election of Trump and packing of the federal judiciary, their stars and planets have all aligned. States like Mississippi, Texas, and elsewhere knew that this was their great opportunity to go ahead, do the thing that they've been wanting to do for the last couple decades. That was, again, like I said, our governors, the last three governors we've had, that has been their goal, is to make Mississippi the first abortion-free state. So now this has gone beyond just making Mississippi abortion-free. This is about who can be the big dog, or who's got the biggest instrument in their pants and have the bragging rights to say they were the one who took down Roe v. Wade. This is not just about closing one clinic. This is about overturning Roe in states that already have and have had laws on the books for 20-something years plus, that if Roe is ever overturned, they have what we call trigger laws or trigger bans that will go into effect. I know it's like 25, maybe 26. That's half of the country that will be without an abortion provider. And that's devastating.
I'm looking at a picture of you in Mississippi. You're standing with your hands out, protecting, if you will, or separating, using yourself as a barrier between anti-abortion street preacher Keith Dalton and abortion rights protesters in Jackson as recently as October 2nd.
Yeah, that was our abortion freedom fighters rally that Shiro and myself, I organized that rally. Yeah, we had our folks out there, and a lot of those people were new folks.
In terms of that, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear the Mississippi's challenge to Roe v. Wade, and you've already expressed, and most of us are terribly dubious about where the court rule laws talk about. Aluta continua. The struggle does continue, clearly, with people like you. And before we even talk about how severely and what this means for the lives of women and how they will be affected, particularly poor women, women of color, I want you to talk about the struggle does continue and where you go, as you did with your arms extended, absolutely like a flaming, wonderful fury for women, women's rights, and women's self-determination and autonomy over their bodies. And family planning, for goodness sakes, because there are so many dimensions to this.
Outlawing abortion is not going to stop abortions, right? It's, you know, and so I feel like it's my responsibility as a woman, also as an activist and organizer, is to make sure that people still have access, and that whether that's the accurate information, the resources, be it money, you know, a ride, knowing where to go to the next clinic, what they can do to prevent an unplanned pregnancy. What Shiro does is we have trainings. We give away Plan B. We train people on Plan B. We also have the conversations about self-managed abortion. Now, we have to be very careful about
that. By the way, just say what Plan B is, just in case there are some people that are younger or may not understand.
So Plan B is emergency contraceptives, right? It's emergency contraception. So it's not the quote-unquote abortion pill, but what Plan B does do, if taken within 72 hours of having unprotected sex, or if your regular birth control method failed, or you may have missed your, you know, taking your pill or what have you. So it works in two ways. It can, it stops the egg from being fertilized, but its efficacy is greater when you take it within 72 hours after having unprotected. Plan B is now available over the counter, which for many years it was not. And again, that's something that was another long fight. However, for some people, it's still a barrier because they don't have the $40, $50, or even the $25 to purchase it. And they still are faced with shame and stigma in trying to obtain it. We get it, and we give it away for free. We have conversations with communities, intergenerational conversations and meetings with communities and training them how to use it. And we put it right in your hand, and we let them know that, you know, this is your right, you can do this. It's not the same thing as the quote-unquote abortion pill. So that's not what Plan B is. But we do have the conversations about self-medicated abortions, right? We also let people know that just because abortion may become illegal, you can still have a safe abortion. We're not going to go back to the days of pre-Roe, meaning where, you know, you had women dying because of coat hangers and things like that. We have come a long way in the technology, in the sophistication of terminating pregnancies now. So while I don't think we will have finding bloody bodies and things like that in back alleys like it was, you know, pre-Roe, and thankfully so, we do want to make sure that we educate people on how to self-manage their abortions, and also working against repealing all abortion bans, because any abortion ban, regardless of how, you know, the politicians think it's a quote-unquote safety issue, they're all human rights violations. Any abortion ban or regulation is harmful. You cannot have any type of restriction on a procedure where it is safer than childbirth and pregnancy. And especially for Black and brown women, where we have Black women in Mississippi, they make up the highest cases of maternal mortality rate. And they're dying before seeing their children, their babies turn 1 year old, right, before the baby's first birthday. We need to be clear that our healthcare system is damaged and needs a lot of help, right? I'm not saying that abortion is the cure for that, but when the argument is used that a woman can have, our attorney general, who is a woman, she was quoted as saying something like, women can have it all now. You know, in today's age, they don't need to result to an abortion. It's kind of a crazy statement that she made, because if women can have it all, then they can have an abortion, they can have a baby, they can get married or not get married, and they can be able to marry whomever they want, and they should be able to get equal pay for equal work. And Mississippi is the lone state in the United States now that does not have a state law in protection against salary inequalities based on gender. It's a system that has been built and sustained for women to fail, and especially poor women and women of color. Then if you are a woman who happens to have more than one child, you know, and you are unmarried, you're looked upon as the reason why the system is not working. You're a burden on the system, right? So it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you are a woman, especially a black or brown woman in Mississippi. And it should not be that way.
The fact that people like yourself will continue to organize and make various new forms of medicinal aid accessible to people, although one begins to wonder to what extent. I mean, this is the slippery slope, and I can see state laws really doing what they've done or tried to do and have for the moment done in Texas, which is literally deputizing people. So that if you provide counseling information, whether you provide pills, et cetera, that can similarly be legislated and codified to actually be there to prosecute and persecute people such as yourself.
I will never stop. As long as I have breath in this big body, I will never stop working toward abortion freedom.
Yeah.
I will never stop assisting people and supporting them. So, they can legislate all they want. And it's not just me. There is a strong, dedicated group of individuals across this country. And so what I mean by that is that we will never stop supporting people in obtaining a safe abortion, nor will we stop defending and protecting the abortion rights that we have now. And we will never stop fighting against abortion bans, period. So just like our foremothers, be the healers, the witches, whatever you want to call them, just like they had and maintained bodily autonomy, and they were the ones who were the masters of their fertility, we meaning the activism, the pro-abortion activists and organizers, we are never going to stop. I take it as my personal responsibility as a woman to be there for another woman, a girl, or pregnant person, whether they change their mind up until whatever time it is. It is not my role, nor is it the legislator's role, to tell someone what they can and cannot do and to block them from getting health care, period.
Your determination is admirable and imperative. And it's always been the answer to repression, to organize for reproductive freedom, for the rights of women. You also play a national role, and we will continue to make our thoughts known to the Supreme Court before the ruling. But regardless of what happens at the Supreme Court, it's imperative that there be legislation passed to safeguard it, because the fickleness and the political whim of the courts makes our rights so critical to legislate rather than to exist within a case law, which can so easily be taken away in its entirety. What is happening on the national level that will also give heart and have the involvement of women, so that as a political reality, we can not be pushed back 50 years. It's a fundamental issue to women's lives, how they live, and to our very being. What are you doing also to participate in reinvigorating a national movement of women, particularly who guard against the issues? After all, I mean, we did have the Hyde Amendment, a terrifying restriction on poor women having the right to access to abortions. Where do we go from here?
I'm glad you brought up the Hyde Amendment. We still need to work hard again, currently there is some federal legislation that is been talked about. It passed one part of the chamber, and that is the Women's Health Protection Act. That would protect the right to access abortion care in all 50 states and put a stop to the state-by-state efforts to control people's bodies and lives. We also have the EACH Act. That would repeal the Hyde Amendment that we already puts abortion out of reach for millions of low-income individuals. We need to be serious. We need to try to get a constitutional amendment, have it written into the Constitution very plainly where abortion is protected. It is a constitutional right. And just like that, not just under the umbrella of the Penumbra Doctrine. It needs to be in there explicitly. We need to have a full ironclad that is just like the freaking Second Amendment where it cannot be moved. How do we get there? We got to get more people elected to state and local offices and get those people who are truly pro-abortion, who are not going to waver and just be real about this. Supporters and defenders and protectors, period. Because they're the ones who will introduce things and support it, and they will fight and possibly file a suit against the government, i.e. Mississippi, and say your abortion laws, your abortion bans are unconstitutional. They hurt individuals. That's the type of people that we need. So it starts from the state and local areas. We need to do our part. Everybody who claims to be for abortion, for people's right to choose, then they need to start having these conversations and stop the misinformation and stop perpetuating the stigma around abortion. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. You either support abortion or you don't. There's no such thing as I'm only for, if a woman is raped or because her life. No, because nobody's abortion is more important than the other person, period. Either you're for abortion or you're not. And if you're for it, then you need to talk about it. You need to say it proudly. And you need to have these discussions and speak up when you hear someone lying about abortion, stigmatize someone or belittle someone who's had abortion. Speak up about it because they have taken over the narrative. There should be other people who should be taking up this mantle and talking about this. And it's not just Southern thing or red state anymore. That's the other misconception. Everybody used to tell me I was overreacting because it was Mississippi, and Mississippi and the South were red states. Now you got 25, 26 states that are in jeopardy. Some of those states are in the Midwest. You have Ohio, Indiana, and Pennsylvania. This is not so much a quote-unquote red versus blue state anymore. Even California, New York, or Massachusetts, Washington State, and Oregon, they're not going to be able to handle all of the people that will be coming from other parts of the country to get abortion if Roe is overturned. Everybody better recognize, wake up, stop this distinction between red versus blue, north versus south, and get on this bandwagon so we can win this fight and make it over and done. Like, we will never have to revisit this again.
And Michelle, your fervor, your energy, your dedication is fundamental, but it is admirable, and you are a hero.
Thank you, Mimi. I appreciate that. But like I said, I do this because I'm a woman. I do this because I want other women, girls, pregnant people, I don't want them to be bothered and shamed. I don't want them to be attacked and made to feel less than when they go to a clinic. I want women to have the respect and dignity and to be treated as such when they go to any doctor, period. And the most important thing is I don't want a man telling me or any other woman what to do, period. So thank you.
Michelle Colon, co-founder of Sisters Helping Every Woman Rise and Organize, does exactly that. And then keeps on keeping on. I'm Mimi Rosenberg with Ken Nash, and we're building bridges. And we educate, agitate, and organize to empower we, the people.